On today's episode of the AZU The Radio Show podcast, we're going to be talking about the DR2X series of repeaters, continuing our multi-part discussion on that. But we're going to dig more so into some of the features of the accessories you can add on there and some of the things that you could do from a general, kind of at the 10,000-foot level. That's for today, Monday, January 15th, 2024. And welcome to the AZU The Radio Show podcast. I'm your host, John Crook. Thank you for tuning into this episode of the podcast. Once again, we are on Podbean, as well as going ahead and streaming the video version of it, which you might be watching here on our YouTube channel, AZU USA Official. So let's kind of dive right into it here. The DR2X... you know, we left off, we did episode one, doing a recap of episode one, and I think a good recap of episode one was is that we discussed how it started, the DR2X started from the DR1, and then it became the DR1X, and then we went through some firmware, and then we came out with the DR2X, and now that's the model of repeater that's out there right now. And that model of repeater that's out there right now really does a couple great and amazing things that are out there. And this episode of the podcast is going to focus on some of the accessories that can be done with the repeater and some of the concepts of operation here, okay? And the reason I say concepts of operation is because people have different thoughts and views of what a repeater is or a repeater should or shouldn't do. It really does. And I think, you know, not everybody's going to think the same way, and that's fine. That's fine. That's not a problem whatsoever. But let's go ahead and be able to let people know that, hey, if I just want to use a repeater, pick up my radio, and 90PC, blah, 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 that's fine. But if they want to be able to say, no, I want to be able to do this. I want to use it locally. I want to use it regionally. I want to use it statewide, nationwide, whatever the case may be, that can go ahead and take place on air. So digging in right away, let's talk about the concept of what this repeater can and can't do. So the repeater is, in essence, a 19-inch rack mount, about a 2U high. So it's about 2 units high on there, okay? And it is designed to be a repeater that you could put into a rack at a repeater site. It allows you to be a repeater that you can have on a desktop and use that repeater just right there on the desktop. It allows you to make it transportable. And what I mean by transportable is it's to take in and use it. Now, here's the reason it's transportable. Is it because the DR2X for, and I want to stress the North America version. That's I think, the biggest part we need to stress here is the North America version. Because there's different versions worldwide, obviously, because of different frequency bands and everything like that. But in the North America version, a DR2X can run either connected directly with an AC power cord from the repeater to the AC outlet, or it has an input for a DC power source. So you can put 12 volts DC into the repeater if you want to. Now, there's a slight limitation. So what the repeater is for the North America market designed is that you can run it off that AC power at full 50 watts. But then if someone wants to hook up a battery backup system to it, if the repeater loses that AC power, then it will cut over to DC power, but then it halves the power out. So if you have it set it at high power, AC, it's going to be 50 watts. High power or the maximum power on DC, it's only going to be 20 watts. Now, where did that concept go? Well, the concept came from, why does it go that way, is because in essence we're thinking that if you're going to be using the repeater on DC in addition to AC, then you've lost power at your site, you're on battery backup, you need to have in essence a fail safe, and you don't know how long you're going to be without power. So if we continue to let it run at 50 watts on DC power, you're going to possibly suck that battery down quickly. Where if you have it run at lower power, in this case 20 watts on DC, then you will have an extended amount of operation time as compared to running at 50 watts. Makes sense, right? So that's where that kind of concept comes into play. No, there's no way to go ahead and convert it the DC to more wattage. There's not a firmware update. There's not a setting in the repeater. There's nothing there. It is fixed at 20 watts. What we would suggest is, because some people said, well, you know what? We don't have AC at our site. We have DC only. We're a green site. Or we've had a few people say that I don't want to use a power supply for the repeater. I want a built-in power supply. I want an external power supply. Okay, we don't understand the difference because one's built into the repeater, one is external, but whatever, that's fine. And in that case, then, no, there's no way to do it. What you would have to do in that case, if you want more power out, is you would have to select the lower power out or get an amplifier that would go ahead and be able to take the full 20 watts or whatever you have to increase and put in a power amplifier into the mix. That's the only way you're going to get more than 20 watts on DC power. So that's kind of the first thing on there. But power aside, here's why that concept is. That concept is because it could be used as an emergency repeater. If you're doing an event, you know, an Ares Races event, a public safety event, of something, whatever the case may be, and you need to put a repeater on there, okay, or use a repeater, and you wanted a temporary repeater, there you go. You need DC power, because last time I checked, AC power just isn't out in the middle of nowhere. You can get a battery, hook it up, that's great, that's good, but AC power is a little more hard to come by in the middle of nowhere. So that's there. Now, what else about the repeater? Why else is this kind of like almost a Swiss Army knife for repeaters? Well, because they're all DR repeaters. And I said DR, not saying just the two, but the one, the 1X, the 1XFR, the two are all multi-band operation. What do I mean by multi-band or dual-band operation? They do, well, first of all, let me back up. They don't require programming software at all. You program from the front of that repeater. You enter your receive frequency, or we call the uplink, and you enter your downlink, which is a transmit frequency. But all repeaters can operate in either the VHF amateur band or the UHF amateur band. You don't have to order it. Oh, no. I want a VHF repeater. I got to order the VHF version. Nope. You order the repeater. It's VHF or UHF. Now, with that being said, not only could it be VHF-VHF for VHF-receive, VHF-transmit repeater, it could be UHF-receive and UHF-transmit for repeater, but you can also do unidirectional cross-banding, meaning I could receive on VHF and transmit UHF, or I could receive on UHF and transmit VHF. But it's not going to go back and forth. It's going to either be in one band and then out the other band. Now, in addition to that, you have multi-mode capability. So you have the standard AMS option, right? AMS is automatic mode select. You go ahead and set it so that any FM or C4FM fusion signal it receives, it will then force the transmit to be that mode. So if I go in FM, it's going to come out FM. If I go in fusion, it's going to come out fusion. You can also lock it down to just digital only. So only receives digital, only transmits digital. Or you can lock it so that it's AMS receive, so digital or analog, and then force FM out. Or you can go ahead and even if you wanted to, take and do any sort of kind of weird combination. So you could be digital in and FM out. Okay, you could do digital in, digital out, FM in. So you have a wide variety of what you want to do. Now, why did we do this? We did this because, here's the deal. I mean, seriously, there are going to be some people out there that are going to say digital is the devil, hands down. Like, digital is the devil. I don't like digital. You're forcing me to do this. Well, we're not forcing you to do anything. I don't think your club's forcing you to do anything. Maybe the club is, who knows? But we, as the designer of the equipment, the manufacturer, we're not forcing you into digital. And the reason we're not forcing you into digital is because we know that digital is something that people need to grow on, right? It's like doing HF, right? If you get a technician license, you have certain frequency bands. Well, now you upgrade your license, you have to grow into it. You don't automatically know everything about HF, okay? Or using digital data modes, right? Okay, you may have never used digital data modes. Now, okay, so now you're jumping into RIDI. Now you're jumping into FT8. Now you're jumping into WinLink. Okay, it takes a moment. You have to take a breath of fresh air. Take a moment and learn to go into it. That is why the way we design the equipment. With the optional ways to select the mode of operation, you can grow digital at your own pace. Hey, you got a lot of analog users? Great, that's fine. Let the analog users go ahead, and then they can operate FM. But then have that AMS in for receive, because now if, hey, I'm on the fringe here of FM, and I'm like that, click over to digital, and boom, that signal is there. And then you can say, hey, man, this is great. I want to try this. I want to do more of it, right? So those are the options that you have built into that aspect of the repeater. Getting back to the frequencies, we know as amateurs, especially if you're buying this as a portable repeater, a situation, we know that there may be times and situations you are going to have it versatile, right? You need to program frequencies maybe on the fly or set it up for operation on the fly. That's why no software, no computers needed. You just boom, 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 put it in there. The other great thing about it is that the DR2X, and once again, the other repeaters too, with this unidirectional crossband, it allows you to put up different means of temporary communications or maybe permanent communications. Let's say, for example, you're doing an event and you're doing that event and you're going to be using FM, okay? Fine, not a problem, right? But now here's what ends up happening is you have a spot in this area where you're going to have users of handheld radios, or maybe they're mobile radios, but they're just having a hard time hitting that repeater. Maybe you have a site or a location close by that you can do and integrate. Now with DR2X, you could take and put it into crossband mode, have it receive on UHF, then that would transmit on VHF into the main repeater. So now, and think of it this way, I got my handheld, I'm going from my handheld to the one DR2X repeater on UHF. That crosses it over to VHF, which is the input to the main repeater. Now the main repeater repeats it, and I could receive the main repeater. I just couldn't get into it. Okay? That works out even well, or even better. But now one of the other features that I think people aren't realize with the DR2X is going to go ahead and be that it has dual active receivers. Now, these dual active receivers, there's two current active receivers. There's an A side and a B side. And this A side allows for you to do your normal operation. That B side then allows you to, in essence, have a quote-unquote back door into the repeater. That back door into the repeater could be used for a couple things. It could be used for control of the repeater. So meaning you saying, hey, there's people talking on the repeater, or I need to take the repeater offline or something like that, or whatever case. Instead of trying to fight on that input or have to have a separate radio, separate everything, integrated into the repeater, now it's all put into that repeater. It's all one. Pick it up, beep, 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 send the commands on DTMF or Fusion Telecommand. It can disable the repeater. It could change power. It could do multiple things on there. So that's what that is. But, wait, there's more, kids. It can also act as a receiver for doing these remote operations, like I said. One group I know of, and even myself, I have my repeaters, obviously, that I own and use and everything like that. We have an event, and we had an interview on one of our podcasts with the American Birkebeiner, big cross-country ski race. Well, with the DR1X, DR1 XFR, I believe it was, they have users that we have it set up that they go in on the same frequency as the main repeater. Okay, so repeater is this repeater, VHF, and it's this normal 600 split, right? So it's 147.255 and 147.855. You go on a 147.855, right? FM tone of 110.9. But on the DR2X that is there, there's a UHF on that B side. So now what we did is we found out where people start to have a problem getting into the repeater. What we did is we took that DR1X FR, or you could use another DR2X if you want to, it doesn't matter, or a different radio that can crossband. What we did is we set it up, so now it goes in on 147.855, but uses a DCS tone. Now that crossbands then over to transmit on UHF, which is then heard by the main repeater on that B-side UHF. And now what you did is you just created a remote receive site so that now, hey, if you're close to the repeater, go in on 147.855 with the 110 tone. Oh, you're over here? Now go in on 147.855 with the DCS tone of 411. Great. You did that. The repeater allowed you to do that. Okay? And best yet, with the antenna, when you're using it in this unidirectional crossband, you just get a dual band antenna and you get a diplexer. And you hook the VHF up to whether you're using VHF for transmit or receive and then UHF on the other side. One antenna, great location, temporary setup, it's good to go. Now, one of the other things we're going to talk about is the FVS2 board and the LAN card. But before we get into that, let's talk about a few quick things of accessories. So the DR2X does have the ability to use a microphone to plug into the front of there. Okay, has the FVS2 board, which allows for analog operation. For recorded voice on there. Whether you're, with the exception, I should say, the LAN card is an accessory. Any other accessories you want to get for the DR2X, which would be a microphone to plug into the front of it, which uses the same mobile microphone. But if you want a special specific microphone, or you want that FVS2 board, or you want to have any of the 10-pin accessory cables that you can get, this is a good time to contact your local authorized or your favorite authorized Yaesu dealer. That's right, Yaesu authorized dealer. We can't stress the authorized part enough, because when you are buying from an authorized dealer, you know you're getting official Yaesu parts, you're getting the actual radios, and better yet, if they have a question that they can't answer, they know they can get a hold of us right away at Yaesu to answer that question for you and help you even beyond the sale. Look up your favorite authorized Yaesu dealers by going to our Yaesu.com website, clicking on Find a Dealer, and enter your information. You would be surprised at how many authorized Yaesu dealers are in your area or may be able to help you and are not that far away. Make sure you check it out, Yaesu.com, and Find a Dealer. Alrighty, continuing on with these accessories, so more so the FVS2 board and the LAN card. So the FVS2 board gives you some functionality of analog operation. And what we mean by that is inserting that into the repeater. Once again, you can purchase it through our dealers. You have the ability to now record an analog message into the repeater. Now, this is not going to be used for an ID. So this isn't something that you could say, hi, this is N9 UPC repeater on 147.255. Now, it's not meant for that. What it's designed and meant for is to have it as a concept of saying, okay, we have a ham fest today, we have a meeting tonight, we have a test session coming up, or whatever, whatever. The DR2X can be set up for you to record a message into it. That message then will play X amount of times through a period at X amount of intervals. So you could have that maybe play 4 times every hour, or maybe you want to have it play 6 times every 30 minutes. Whatever the case, those are the settings within the DR2X. So you have to go in there into the menu system and you set that up there. All right. But it allows you to record, once again, in FM voice, the ability to do that. Now, what you could also do is you can record this. You don't have to be in front of the repeater either. You can go in and you could set up your menu system, your menu commands, and the menu system or menu commands will allow you to do it over the air. So you could set it up by DTMF, and when you enter DTMF code *1234, something like that, whatever you want to set it up as, coming in on that control, that B-side channel. Now you're going to have to set it up. There is some prep work to do this, right? Just a few settings you have to set up. But then you could say, hi, this is the blah, blah, blah club, and we have a meeting tonight at 7 p.m. So you record that in the morning, and you know that it's going to play X amount of times, X amount of intervals for time, and then voila, once it's reached its limit, stops playing, okay? Then if you want to do it again, you got to go back in and record it. That's what the FVS2 board is going to do. The FVS2 board is also going to go ahead and give you the voice enunciation or pronouncement of the letters of the call sign. So what it would do is, like my repeater, would be like, N9UPC. That would be IDing of the repeater. The other option would be is if you want to do CW on there. So that's what the FVS2 board is going to go ahead and get you. But what about the LAN board? You said about the LAN board. What is the LAN board going to do here in this case? So the LAN board does two things. The LAN board offers you to do the same digital voice, what you can do with FM for the announcements, right? That is done by doing fusion telecommand now. So not DTMF, but doing fusion telecommand, because you have to record the message in there and in that manner. But then also what the LAN board does is the LAN board allows for digital linking that does not require the internet. I want to stress, does not require the internet. Because what happens with the LAN board is it is IP-based, not ISP-based. So you can run it on the intranet, you can run it on the internet, you can run it. As long as you get IP data packets from the back of the repeater on that LAN board to another repeater, you can go ahead and use that LAN board. So a good example of a LAN board would be, is, and we've had this happen, is that we have a user that they are at a tower site. And they have a VHF machine, they have a UHF machine. And the VHF machine and the antenna is phased that it gives great coverage outside of their coverage area, like a big swap of their coverage area. But if they're inside, maybe say their city, their village, their town, wherever they're at, it could be maybe tricky to get out on VHF. So in turn, they can use UHF. But then, how do you get UHF digital users to talk to VHF digital users? Well, prior to the LAN board, you literally would have to have two wires X setups and then internet and all blah, blah, blah. But people didn't want that. But with that LAN card now you have the ability to basically plug that repeater into a switch or router, plug the other repeater into a switch or router, set it up inside the system that when someone uses, let's say, DGID 99 as an example, doesn't have to be that one, but they key up on their radio DGID 99 in digital, the repeater hears it, says, oh, it's DGID 99, I need to connect to this other repeater. Now you have the digital traffic passing back and forth to one another, okay? And it's true digital voice. It isn't double vocoding where you're taking the digital signal out of the repeater and then you're taking it and then you're putting it in analog and then you're routing it up to there and then it encodes it from analog back into digital. No, that's double vocoding. This is not double vocoding. This is the pure digital voice stream coming out of one repeater and going to the other. That's what the LAN card gets you. Now, where can you buy the LAN card? Can you buy the LAN card from a dealer? Yeah, if you want to pay more. If you want, while the program is active, you can get the LAN card ordered directly from Yaesu, and we will send it out to you. Now, if you want to buy something with the LAN card previously installed right away, you can order that at the time you ordered your repeater. So you have that flexibility, you have that option. It's all going to come down to you. But once again, the LAN card gives you digital voice recordings like the FES2 does in FM, and then it also gives you the digital linking, which is pure digital voice. Now, question people say is like, well, what if I need to send it down an internet? Well, you have to have some static IPs or VPN operation on there. There's a little bit more into that. We're probably going to cover that in another later episode, but we wanted to kind of go ahead and cover the DR2X main thing right now. So the last part on the DR2X is going to go ahead and be the backside of it. Okay, the backside, you're going to see that there's two antenna ports. A receive for antenna A and B, and a transmit for antenna A and B. Now, don't get confused by that. The DR2X has two receivers, but it doesn't have two transmitters. What you can do on the repeater is you can set up the A and the B for the receive, and you could both force them out the A port. So what that does is, like we mentioned earlier, you have your normal repeater frequency. So my repeater 147.855 receives 147.255. But I could take a UHF, let's say link frequency. So maybe I have a link frequency on, argument's sake, let's say 439.500, just as an example, okay? Or 440 even, let's just say that. That can come on the B side, and then that could be forced to transmit out on 147.255. on there. But it only has one transmitter. It doesn't have the ability to have two transmitters. So it's not two repeaters in one. But some people have thought that the DR2X is two repeaters in one. No, that's not the case. The reason we have that set up that way is because then you could have it set up that if I want to send commands, I could send commands and I could hear the reply back over on the A side. Or if you want to, you could set up that B side to be on a completely different frequency, VHF or UHF, and when you send commands and you take control of the repeater, you can go in on a separate frequency and hear it come back on a separate frequency. So for an example, maybe you have control on UHF and then you have the repeater on VHF. Well, if people are using the VHF side of it and you need to get in there and take command or control of it for some reason, you can send those commands on the UHF side. You'll listen on the UHF side to know, and the VHF side, users are completely oblivious. Now, one last thing, and this I think is really cool because it gives you the flexibility when doing net control, when you're doing some sort of operation or something like that on there that could tie up frequencies, because that maybe you have jammers, maybe you have people that are talking too much or whatever. Using that A and B concept, you can have priority override on one of the sides. So going back to our example, 147.855 receive, 147.255 transmit. And let's say I build that back door in on 440.0 for our argument's sake, right? What I could do is I could set that UHF frequency as priority. And now people are talking, people are getting long-winded. I'm net control. I have to get an important message out, right? What I can do then is I can go in on that 440 frequency, and then the repeater is going to hear, oh, hey, 440 is being used. I'm going to ignore 147.855. I'm going to listen to 440, and I'm going to route 440 up to the 147.255 transmit. Excuse me. And it is amazing. It's just like, boom, someone flips the switch, and it's great. The best part about it is it doesn't have to be UHF. It can be the same frequency in band. So let's say I want to use a VHF frequency. So I can have my main repeater frequency and VHF. I could use that VHF input as a different one. Vice versa, I could have a UHF repeater with a UHF backdoor. The thing you have to be concerned about is that when you are using a same control frequency or the quote backdoor frequency as your main repeater, that they're not going to cause interference to one another, that is not going to, the receive on the A side is not going to knock out the receive on the B side. So once again, planning on your part and different kind of things like that on there. But I use it once again for different operations, for net controls. If you have Wires X, this is what I've told people, numerous people, they said, hey, John, I have Wires X and we want to integrate it into there. But, you know, if we go into a room and people are super, super chatty, it locks up the repeater. We can't talk over it. You got a DR2X? Yeah, great. Set it up this way. Set it to go in on a backdoor frequency and then have your A side as priority. So any user that comes in normally on the repeater locally is going to always override the Wires X operation. So a couple things to think about there. But that's just some of the features of the DR2X. As I said, it does offer other features in there. Timeout timers, the different signaling, the different tone levels, all those kind of things like that. That is great built into that repeater. And those are things you can go ahead and experiment with and play with from there. But that's it for kind of this next part of this DR2X kind of repeater discussion on this mini series here that we're having. The next series... is going to be more of a technical kind of thing. So if you're the repeater trustee, if you understand how operations are working and everything like that, we're going to tell you how, hey, if you have a spare DR1X, DR1XFR around, a spare transmitter, how you actually can make two repeaters out of one repeater and a separate transmitter. And then also, too, is talk a little bit about the functionality of that D-sub-15 as well as the 10-pin mini-DIN. You'd be surprised at how you can easily interface All-Star, Echolink, IRLP, other things onto that using very minimal issues with the D-sub-15 or even better yet, the 10-pin mini-DIN. So for everybody that's tuned into podcasts, whether you're watching us on the YouTube channel or you're watching or listening to us through Podbean or one of your favorite podcast apps, as well, I guess we'll call it, thank you for tuning in, 73s, and we will go ahead and we will catch you on down the band.